The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
And good afternoon. Welcome in. We have a lot to do today. We're a day away from the NBA draft, and very likely Auburn will have the first pick in the draft. Maybe two or more of the major players. We'll talk all about that this afternoon as Jabari Smith could be the first number one pick in Auburn basketball history. Yes, we are aware. Auburn football has had a few. The man who has coached these outstanding players is Bruce Pearl, and he is joining us now. Coach, good afternoon. It's great to have you back on the program.
It's great to be back with you, Paul. And who would have ever thought that we would be having a discussion about an Auburn basketball player, men's player, being drafted number one in the country? So it's great to be with you.
Well, I know that that is something that you're proud about because these are your guys and your team. But let's talk about what it means and what you are hearing as we are entering into the final 28 hours before the draft.
Well, I think what it means is, you know, we try to talk to these guys about coming to Auburn to make history. And Jabari Smith came to Auburn, and he made history. He won a championship. He stayed close to home. There was a time when, you know, that a player like Jabari would have to go to, you know, one of the blue bloods in the country to get developed as a pro and to win championships. And he was able to stay home and do it here and add to the legends of the Cam Newtons or the, you know, Bo Jacksons, the Charles Barkleys, the Frank Thomases. And so it's a really significant accomplishment. Paul, what I'm hearing is, you know, I mean, you know, Orlando's got to make a decision whether they want him or Pablo or Chet. And I think those are the three names that we hear. Jaden Ivey maybe next. He's the first NBA guaranteed All-Star that I've coached. He's the best shooting man his size in college basketball the last 10 years. He can guard multiple positions, and he's a fierce competitor. So he's got the makings of an All-Star.
I know you've been through this before often, but when you have a player like this, you know a lot of these NBA people. What is that dialogue like, and how often do you hear from them?
We hear from them a lot, and I think, you know, they can overanalyze things one side up, down, the other, and sometimes, and there's a lot of gamesmanship that take place on who you bring in, who you don't bring, who you're talking up, you know, who you're trying to downgrade, what trades could be going on. It's a real sport. The draft is a real game. But for me, he just turned 19, Paul. I mean, he played his entire year for me at 18. He affects winning. Orlando's got really good pieces. They've got some really good players. They've just never been able to put those things together. I think he obviously, you know, can do it. And I can tell you, if Orlando doesn't take him number one, OKC is going to be thrilled, you know, at two. But all signs indicate that that's where he's going to go.
That's not the only player Auburn fans are watching. What about Walter, and what do you hear on him?
You know, Paul, it'd be hard for me to ever remember a college player that made more progress in 1 year than Walker Kessler. He's at North Carolina playing less than 10 minutes a game. He's playing behind Baycott and a bunch of other really good players. He got better at North Carolina. North Carolina did a really good job with the player development piece. They just didn't have time and space on the floor. And then Steven and I had recruited Walker for years and fell in love with his family. And like Jabari, just got an incredible family. He comes into a different system. We play faster. I play him facing. We let him shoot the three ball. And probably more than anything, Paul, defensively we extend. Defensively we switch. Defensively, all of a sudden, he's having to guard guards and he's pressing up. And he's looking like he can move his feet and he can guard again 1 through 5. And he's starting to impact ball screens. And what people just don't realize, he's not 7 foot. He's not 7'1". He's 7'1 and a little bit more. And he's a tremendous athlete. The best player I've ever coached in the air, offensively and defensively. You know, where does he go? He Paul, he just received an invitation to the green room about 3 hours ago. Only 24 players have been invited. Of course, there are 30 picks in the first round. That tells you that the NBA office believes that he's going to go in the first round. We believe it's someplace between the high teens and the early 20s.
So we're talking about Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. And so, Coach, what he's going to the green room. Where will you be tomorrow night?
You know, I'm going to be there, Paul. We're going out there with some coaches and some fans, and I don't know whether I'm going to be down there or not, honestly. I've been asked. I think for me it's going to be too emotional. You know what a softy I am. And I honestly want to sit back and I want to watch Jabari and his parents and his grandmother and just soak that in. And if I feel like crying, I want to cry. And I want to just watch Walker and his parents and his brother and sisters and just soak that up and just be happy for them. So I don't know. Right now I'm not planning on being down there, but I'm going to be in the building. And I'm just so excited. And Auburn's never had two players go in the first round. And I'm such a bad coach that it took two first-round NBA draft picks for us to get to be ranked number one in the country and win the SEC championship.
Yeah, you know, Coach, we're talking about Walker. We're talking about Jabari. A couple of years ago, we talked to you about getting to the Final Four. I know these things start to affect you a little bit, but, I mean, you're a guy that 10 years ago, you were out of coaching. Many wondered if you would ever come back. And I know tomorrow night is just another one of those blocks along the way, but discuss this journey.
Well, it's been blessed. I love the SEC like you. I love this league. I love this conference. And I love the fact that we're so good, men and women across the board. Whoever the second best conference is in the country, whether it's the Big Ten or the Big 12 or whoever, it's not even close. And it's not a knock on these other conferences. It's just that the SEC men and women across the board, look at baseball. But it's been that way in baseball for a long, long time. Literally, when we got down to the final five teams last night after Notre Dame got beat, it was the SEC West plus Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's probably going to be in the SEC West. There literally was five SEC West teams playing, you know, for a baseball championship. You know, look, for me, I want to try to leave programs better than I found them. We have found a home in Auburn. I absolutely love it here. And this is a great place for kids to go to school, for them to train. It's safe. It's an incredible college, you know, town. And we've had a pretty good run here in the last year with lots of different sports across the board. And over the last 5 years, Auburn's won more games in basketball than any team in this league. We've got three firsts and a second in the last five years. So it's easier to get it going than it is to keep it going, and I'm trying to try to keep it going.
All eyes on Walker and Jabari tomorrow night, and we'll be watching the Kleenexes in front of your eyes. I can't wait. Coach, always great to see you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Paul. Great to be with you. Thank you.
You bet. Bruce Pearl joining us at the top of the program. We'll talk to another player who is scheduled to have his name called out a little bit later on. We're off and running here on a Wednesday.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We mentioned Grant Hill and Jerry Moorhead. Remember about 3 weeks ago, Jerry Moorhead, the president of Georgia, joined us beachside. They're now voting members of the NCAA Board of Governors. That's a significant position. Jerry Moorhead already one of the most influential people in intercollegiate athletics as the president of the SEC. And yes, there is a Johnson versus NCAA. It's a tricky case. We'll get deep into the weeds on what it means. It's a big deal with Michael McCann a little bit later on. And the transfer portal alive and well. And we'll who are the best players? Some of them are pretty obvious. The guests today are not as obvious. Kennedy Chandler. Yeah, UT fans may know a little bit about him. McCann, later. Ari. If I come back, I want my name to be Ari. And let's give you an update on A&M. They are down 4-0 to their about-to-be sisters and cousins in the SEC, Oklahoma. Maybe sisters wouldn't be the right phrase. Arkansas and Ole Miss tonight. That's a do-or-die game for the Razorbacks. Ole Miss has yet to lose. And the phone lines are officially open at 855-242-7285. You ready for a good beginning? Who do you think the first caller is?
Oh.
There is a list of I get friends of mine who say, why is that guy always the first caller? Why is that guy always on? Can you guess who the first caller is? That's my question to you in the audience. Who you got?
I got John.
You got John? John from Louisville? How much you got on that? You just lost $5. AC is in New Jersey.
Oh, Tribal Chief is here. That's right. Why do you have me on? Because I run the show with Mr. Paul Feinbaum. How you guys doing?
You have replaced Jim from Tuscaloosa as the best caller on the show. He is no longer living.
Pump your brakes. Who cares about that now? I got my Turkish coffee ready. I'm going to smash each and every four losers out there. Let me talk about Matt in San Antonio and Mr. Amen. Did you notice by Matt in San Antonio, he says, hey, Burger, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Did you notice he's trying to call you Burger? Mr. Feinbaum, you are a human being. Golly. As far as Amen is concerned, I guess your caller, Mitch, wants Amen to teach the new callers how to make calls. Mitch, that's not going to happen. 90% of the time, I meant sometime, he mentions Jim from Tuscaloosa. How is that a good call? I'm going to smash all of you. Bring it on. I'm the guy who's going to open the show. I'm the guy who's going to close the show with Mr. Paul Feinbaum. Jim from Tuscaloosa, I have a mess for you. You're the past, homie. I'm present.
You're the past, homie.
Get used to me.
I was reading something the other day about great book beginnings. A lot of famous first lines in books. You're the past homie might be my favorite I've heard on this show. Better than, don't you think it's better than they call me Ishmael? Anyway, you're the past homie. He's talking about page 54 right there, speaking about the past. We put out a tweet earlier. If you could relive any moment in college football history, what would it be? That's our new theme for the day. You're welcome to chime in at any point. Yeah, you got to. I guess I'd probably go old school, you know, like going to my first game with my dad or something. I mean, I know I'd be sappy doing that, but that would be a pretty cool thing to relive, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, all the rest of this stuff I can watch on ESPN Classics. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Dave is up next in Missouri. You are on the air.
Hey, thanks, Paul. you know what? After listening to you for a while, we have a lot in common. We're about the same age. We wear the same shoe size. And yesterday, you said that you were born in the same hospital that Elvis had died. Well, Elvis died on me and Peggy's anniversary, and I am related to Elvis.
So you were married on August 16th?
Yes, sir.
What year?
Yes, I was. Isn't that ironic?
What year were you married?
We were married in 1975, and Elvis died a couple of years later.
He died in 77.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
But all of our relatives, I've been told that migrated from Mississippi and moved up north to around the Crocker area and areas around there. And that's me and Elvis's tie. Yep. And also, on things in common, I was a wild ass when I was younger. You were a wild ass when you were younger.
Still am.
And, yeah. Well, I've heard your stories and not as...
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to chisel all those stories down. And I was not that bad. I think I tend to exaggerate about my past.
Oh,
what's the wildest thing you ever did as a young and crazy person, Dave? And we'll compare.
Oh, my God. Probably the wildest thing I ever did, which was a big mistake, was to make a Molotov cocktail and throw it at the school.
Okay. No. Well, I can assure you, you've got me. I've never done anything criminal. So were you arrested? You should have been.
Yes. Got caught. Football player saw me.
Yeah.
And me and two other guys. And
what school was it? What school was this, Dave?
This was Glendale High School.
Dave, hold on a second. How old were you?
I was 15 years old.
You're 15 and you throw a Molotov cocktail into your high school? Into your school? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, it was on the outside of the school. It never
care.
Did do any
damage. I mean, Molotov cocktails can kill.
Yeah. I don't know. We read some book, you know, by Abby Hoffman or something.
Abby Hoffman. Oh, yeah. We're talking about Chicago Chicago 8.
Seven,
whatever. Did you know they were the Chicago 7? It used to be 8, but Abby Hoffman died.
Yeah. But I got paid for it. I had to go.
Abby Hoffman was one of the great radicals of the 60s.
Oh, yeah. And Jerry Rubin. Don't forget about him.
Jerry Rubin, yeah.
He wrote that book, Steal This Book.
Yeah, that's a good name for a book, too.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway.
It's better than My Life. Well, what? Dave, thank you. I don't know if I want to be associated with a... I mean, Dave's a criminal, isn't he?
Oh, he's arrested. I don't think you've been arrested.
Nothing's ever stuck, I can assure you. I mean, I've been charged a few times, but nothing serious.
Okay.
Attempted. But no, I can honestly say I've never spent the night in jail. Been to jail.
Yeah.
Come close. Should have been, but didn't.
Good.
Tom is up next.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
You ever been to jail, Tom?
Yeah, I've been in jail for one night.
Okay, didn't mean to ask you a trick question. I just thought it was kind of, what were you doing in jail?
I stole a ping pong paddle.
You stole?
I stole a ping pong paddle.
I stole
a ping pong paddle, but I really didn't steal it. They just said I stole it, but I really didn't steal it, but they still put me in jail.
I've stolen far worse than ping pong paddles. I mean, come on. I don't know if I want to admit what I've stolen. Don't know what I want to, if I want to admit what I've stolen on this show.
But fourth degree.
So
they charged me with theft in the fourth degree, and I had to pay a $600 fine.
Now, in what county was this, Tom?
Madison County,
Madison County, Alabama? That's Huntsville, by the way.
That's in Huntsville.
Yeah.
I've lived in Huntsville for 30 years. I mean,
and what, and what, and what year was this?
1989.
Okay, because I used to know the DA up in Huntsville. He later became the, when I was doing a story up there one time and had a deal with the DA. His name was Bud Kramer. He later.
Yeah, Bud Kramer was the DA.
He was the DA. Well, then there's no. I'm not at all surprised that you got falsely charged.
Yeah.
He we had a bit of a. He later became a congressman, I believe. I don't know if he still
is.
Yeah,
he later became a congressman. Yeah. I think he's dead today.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Didn't mean to wish ill of the dead.
But
I got to know Bud pretty well. Sorry to hear he passed away.
Yeah.
But did he ever apologize to you for falsely charging? Did you get your $600 back?
No, I still had to pay the $600.
Okay. Well, I think we ought to. I think there should be restitution.
My question for you today is.
Oh, okay. There's a question.
Who got the best linebackers, Alabama or Georgia?
Who has the best ones coming up?
Yes, sir. Alabama.
Certainly, we start with Will Anderson at Alabama. He's singularly the best. That's without it. By the way, I'm kind of upset about Tom.
$600 for a ping pong.
Well, I mean, there are people that are hauled into jail for felonies that aren't charged, don't pay $600.
I know.
I mean, for a ping pong paddle that you didn't steal. Yeah, I mean, can't you buy a ping pong table for under $600? Yeah.
And have money left over.
Tom, I'd be curious who your lawyer was.
Yeah.
AC from New Jersey, was he representing you? We'll take a short break. Back after this.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We welcome you back. We started the conversation with Bruce Pearl, talking about two of his players, including Jabari Smith, who could be the number one player in the draft. We're now joined by Kennedy Chandler, the great star from the University of Tennessee. Grew up right outside of Memphis and, of course, was dazzling last year as a Tennessee had quite a run in the regular season and, of course, the NCAA tournament. Kennedy, thank you for making time. Congratulations on your very quick success at Tennessee, and I know you're really looking forward to the draft. How are you, and how anxious are you, I guess I should say?
First off, thank y'all for having me, and I'm doing good. I'm back home now with my family, so I'm doing my draft party here. So I'm just enjoying the process and, you know, excited for tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure by this point you've dealt with so many different people from the NBA. You probably have seen every analysis of yourself and mock drafts. How do you – I mean, I know you're always judged as a great player, but has it been a little bit overwhelming, or have you enjoyed this experience?
You know, it's been overwhelming a little bit, but, you know, I'm just trying to enjoy the process right now and, you know, just prove to everybody that the type of player I am, that size doesn't matter, and, you know, it's coming to the NBA and show the abilities that I can do.
Yeah, I mean, you did it all, you know, from scoring to assists, you know, percentage. I know these are things that have made you one of the top players coming out of high school and obviously have you in this position. In trying to determine your choice a couple of months ago, what went into it and what advice did you gain?
For me, you know, Coach Barnes, you know, he's a great coach. I want to thank him. You know, when I went to Tennessee, I told Coach Barnes the first thing I want to do is win the SEC championship. And, you know, I'm a very competitive person. I'm a winner. And the reason I went to Tennessee is just by the point guards that Coach Barnes had coached, by TJ Ford and DJ Augustine, and I wanted to be the next point guard to be challenged by Coach Barnes.
And you went to the you turned out pretty well. You grew up right outside of Memphis, and I grew up there myself. And I think it's misunderstood by a lot of people in the Deep South what a basketball town that is. What was it like with the history of so many great players coming out of Memphis for you to learn, to experience, and to get to know a lot of them?
Yes, so I feel like Memphis is a very underrated city for basketball. There's so many great kids here that play basketball, and, you know, Memphis has a lot of great talent here. For me to be able to make it out, you know, just go to SEC school, you know, it's not very often you see kids from Memphis do that, but I feel like everybody in Memphis should be able to have that chance to be able to play at the next level. And, you know, Memphis is always a place to be home.
No, you're right, especially when one of the most famous players in Memphis history is coaching over there at Memphis. It's tough for anybody to get out of there. So, and I don't mean that literally, but there's a pretty big history. You talk about your experiences at Tennessee, which is also a phenomenal basketball school.
Yes, I feel like Tennessee has the best fans in the country. You know, every home game that we had, the fans was there, you know, ready for us to play. And the team that we had at Tennessee, we had a special group of guys, and, you know, I'm going to miss those guys. That was a very group, the chemistry that we had just on and off the court, very special. And, you know, it was a team that I would very miss, and, you know, I'm glad I chose Tennessee and to go to that school.
Kennedy, there have been some media comparisons to Chris Paul. I know you grew up in a town where there's an NBA team. Were there players, I'm sure there are a lot of players you watched as a young person that you probably dreamed of being like, but was there anyone in particular that you thought about as you were getting older and getting better as a basketball player?
Yeah, so my favorite player is Chris Paul. He's a player that I look up to, that I watch a lot of film on. That's one thing that me and Coach Barnes did. We watched a lot of film, Chris Paul. So that's a player that I model my game after and who I think I play just alike, honestly. And, you know, he's a player that, you know, I can't wait to play against next year. And, you know, I look forward to playing against him.
What have you I mean, everybody's being told something else right now. And you're in that position where you've heard a lot. You've seen Mox, what do you know other than the draft is tomorrow? Do you have any inkling of what it's going to turn out to be?
Honestly, no. I just know that the position I am, I'm just ready to get drafted tomorrow, honestly. And, you know, I'll be excited wherever team I go and to show them why they drafted me and who the player I am.
Well, tell us what it's going to be like at the draft party tomorrow night, since we probably won't be let in. What type of event are you going to have with your family and friends?
Yeah, so tomorrow I'll be going to a hotel downtown on Bill Street, you know, invite all my family and friends tomorrow, having a great time with them, spending time with them, and, you know, just enjoying that process. I've been away from my family for so long, and, you know, it just feels good to be back home right now and spend every moment I can with them.
Well, for you folks who've never been to Beale Street, it's quite a place to have a party. The music is fantastic, as well as the food. And Kennedy, we wish you all the best. Thanks for making time, and we hope your family and especially you have a memorable night and obviously a great career. All the very, very best.
Yes, sir. Thank you all for having me.
Thank you very much. Kennedy Chandler, what an incredible young man, heading to the NBA tomorrow night. We'll take a short break and get back to your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We're back after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, man, is up next.
Well, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
You know, sometimes when things are bothering you, annoying you, kind of worrying you, you go to the doctor and get a pill or a shot or something, don't
That's
you?
That's what I do.
Yeah, you get professional consultation.
My shrink says, okay, what do you need?
Yeah, that's right. And you have a list already printed. You just hand it to
and
them.
Then, and then she goes, I'm over the limit on that right now, so I don't need the medical board coming after me.
And then you go down, you get your bottle of Jose Cuervo, and you go home. But in AC's case, he's got to go to the doctor himself. You know, Paul, AC's sitting around. I've tried to ignore it. But he's going to come in, and I appreciate the people he's calling out because he's calling out all your bigger, better callers, and he's elbowing so hard. He's trying to get up front. He's that little fella that couldn't. But listen, AC, sitting around your house with your mama's crotchless panties on your head, your house coat tied around your neck like a Superman cape, in your white BVD, you know, skid mark stains with your knee-high socks on don't make you a superhero. What you ought to do, AC, listen to me very carefully. Put a jock strap on that face, cover up them chin balls, and the next time you go to the doctor, get him to circumcise your lips so we can understand what the hell you're saying. Now, AC, you have a good day.
Now, that's a good call. That's a major smackdown. AC is on the canvas, and please call 911 and just take him away, okay? Just get him out. Let's go to Earl next up. How are you, Earl?
Hey, Paul, doing great. How are y'all?
Very well. Thank you.
Hey, take a whole lot of your time up.
Take your time.
Got two young daughters that play high school sports here in North Alabama and basketball, middle school, and junior high. And all this Title IX stuff, I'm not really all that real educated on a lot of that stuff, but I was getting that way. So we have I don't know when these pro soccer ladies come out and make a big spiel about these trans athletes and how it's not a big deal.
Right.
And I hadn't heard a whole lot about it. It disappoints me. Because a lot of these, you know, we call them superstars and coaches and people that my daughters and a lot of other young girls look up to, and nobody's saying nothing because it's, I don't know, are they afraid they lose their job or are they afraid they're going to get some hate mail or, I mean, you know, what's right is right. I mean, that's part of being an American is standing up for what's right, what's correct, And we're not doing that. And shame on all of our sports figureheads and athletes and you know, even getting into some of your actors and stuff. Nobody says anything. It's like it's the hot potato, and everybody's just throwing it. Nobody wants to get caught with it. I mean, what are we doing?
I'm curious as a father of two athletes, how do your daughters feel about it, if they have an opinion?
Oh, they're terrified.
Okay.
They're terrified. My youngest one especially. I mean, she's, you know, we don't have a rural area here where I live, and we don't have a swim team or nothing like that, but we have a dang good girls softball and girls basketball program. I mean, dang good. Dang good. You know, a lot of these girls are going on and going to the next level and playing some basketball and some softball. But it's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. And nobody's talking about it. I mean, I can't even get our school board. I mean,
So, it's come up, you know, with the young lady, the swimmer. That's been a big controversy, as I'm sure you know. Swimming is probably the sport where you have the biggest attention. But what does your school board say?
Nothing.
Nothing?
they will, on the record, will not discuss it.
Okay.
It's just not the standard.
And are there participants who this affects?
No, thank God we don't have it yet.
Okay.
Now some of the teams that we played in tournaments I mean, I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean, they you know, you get these girls that are, oh, they're 16-year-old, and they, you know, they're changing, and but some of them, I mean, like I said, we play in some tournaments. Got a big tournament this weekend. Travel tournament. We're in travel ball now.
Right, right.
But we play a lot of teams. You know, a ton of out of state teams out of Atlanta. And we get some out of Tennessee. We get a couple out of Florida. And I see it. I see it. And I just, you know, like I say, I mean, I just leave it at this. We're Americans. When we see something that's wrong, we got to stand up and say it's wrong. And it's just like that soccer player. I don't know her name. I just know she had a big spiel. I guess it was toward the end of the week last week. How it's not a big deal, and we need to just get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would love to have seen her when she was in high school and college, and something, you know, some man's trying to get out there and compete with her and take her spot, you know, that she's worked her whole life for, and take that away from her. I'd like to see how she would feel about it, how she would have felt about it then.
Yeah.
And I understand she don't care now. I mean, she's probably never going to compete again. You know, she'll live off her royalties and all that, and she's fine. But you know, us parents, fathers, mothers, grandparents, you know, we get out here and we work with these girls from the time they're, you know, 2-3 years old until, you know, they you know, fly out of the nest and go do their own thing or play sports or whatever. I mean, and you just kind of I just don't have words for it. I'm upset because we're not talking about it. It's not being talked about. It's not being discussed. You know, like I said, we can't even discuss it at our school board. They won't touch it. Won't even on the record, will not talk about it.
Well, Earl, thank you for calling. It's a big issue out there. I'm not trying to act like it's not, and I'm glad you got it off your chest, how you feel. And Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, the idea of the Ring of Honor came up, and I've been busy and haven't listened to every show, but I had some ideas for the process itself.
Sure.
If you're interested.
We are.
Well, I think we could take a lot from the Heisman Trophy, the New York, I guess, the Downtown Athletic Club. And,
right.
And you mentioned people behind the camera would nominate or make the vote or make the decision for the nominees. And I think if you're in the Ring of Honor, I think that's a good source for voting or nominees. I'm not exactly sure it ought to be like the Duke out that we've had this year.
No, this is going to be determined. We actually have some news on it later today. What we're doing, and Jamari is in charge of it. I want to make sure everybody blames him. I just come pick, you know, I walk through the assembly line, get my check, and keep moving. We're going to have we've determined, I've consulted, Randy has consulted, the nominees, and then there will be X number of people chosen depending on the vote. So I think that's how we're doing it. Just like the Hall of Fame for the college football and pro football, you have to be nominated internally, and that's how we are handling it. Pat, thanks for the suggestion, though. We'll put you as the CPA in charge, since that's your background. We are coming back. We've already had Bruce Pearl and Kennedy Chandler. We have a long way to go. Stick around.